All right, so we're talking about the rapture versus the second coming. And sometimes it can be quite confusing when we're reading in the scriptures. Is there one coming or is there two comings? Well, certainly as we compare scripture with scripture, we find out that what we believe is that being taught is there is a difference between the rapture, being caught up together with the Lord in the air, and that of his coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to set all things right. So let's begin by just reading a portion here in Matthew chapter 24. So in Matthew 24, just reading verses 29 through 31. And if you're able to, please stand as we read God's word, Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Let's just bow forward to prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they would be pleasing to thee, that we could learn something from thy word regarding the difference between the rapture and thy soon coming to take charge of all things here. We're looking forward to that wonderful time. But in the meantime, we just pray, Lord, that you would direct us on how we could be most effective to share the wonderful gospel of eternal life to people here that are in so need. And many people don't even know their need right now. They're blind, and we just pray that thou would help us to show the way that they can enjoy life and be free and have the liberty that only comes through the Lord, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. So just 5 points here that I want to bring out, the difference between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture and the second coming of Christ are often confused. Sometimes it's difficult to determine whether Scripture is referring to the rapture or the second coming. And so we've been studying this for a long time, and I thought this would be a good break to just talk about the distinctions and the difference between the two. And so the rapture is when Jesus Christ returns to remove the church, all the believers in Christ, from the earth. And the rapture is described in 1 Thessalonians 4, and we've covered that at length. And actually, and then we've also discussed, last time we discussed, because we concentrated, it was part one last time, we talked a lot about the rapture. So we read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, and 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 54. And believers who have died will have their bodies resurrected, and along with believers who are still living will meet the Lord in the air. And this will occur in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The second coming of Jesus Christ is when Jesus returns to defeat the Antichrist and destroy all evil, and establish his millennial kingdom. The second coming is described in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. So let's just do the turn over there to Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. talking about the second coming of Christ as distinct from the rapture. 19 verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Okay, so there's a name that no man knows but he himself. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Well, there's a name that we know, the Word of God. Okay, so that looks like the second name there, the Word of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." And verse 16, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So that's the third name. There's a name that no man knows. Then there's the other name, the Word of God. We know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have another name, on his vesture and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just sung that hymn, just praising God for the fact that we believe that God is faithful, and he will demonstrate himself powerful in his second coming. All right, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Word of God, the living Word of God. "And he hath a name that no man knoweth. And he himself is called Faithful and True." He is the one that we rely on for our righteousness. He is faithful and true. So the first distinction we make, at the rapture, believers meet the Lord in the air. Whereas at the second coming, believers return with the Lord to the earth. So we had read about this, about the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Verse 17 "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Remember, the dead in Christ shall rise first and be caught up, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, so that's the rapture. Whereas the second coming, believers return with the Lord to the earth. Revelation 19, verse 14. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." And so we believe that those armies are the believers who have been in heaven since being caught up in chapter 4. We see after chapter 3 in Revelation, remember, after chapter 3, there's no... the rest of Revelation, there are no indications of the church being on earth after chapter 3. And we believe that chapter 4 is 4 and 5 is a throne room in heaven, talking about believers in white robes that either the resurrected or raptured believers in heaven during the events that occur between chapter 6 and chapter 19 of Revelation. So in the rapture, believers meet the Lord in the air. At the second coming of Christ, believers return with the Lord to the earth. Secondly, the rapture occurs before the tribulation, whereas the second coming occurs after the great and terrible tribulation. And so we see the rapture occurring before the tribulation again in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So he hath not appointed us to wrath. Also, Revelation 3, verse 10, talking to the message that's given to the angel or the pastor of the messenger to the church in Philadelphia, of the church in Philadelphia. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And so it's a promise that God will keep believers from that hour of temptation, that tribulation that'll come upon the whole world, and that will be used to try, to test them that dwell upon the earth. So that's the rapture. Church being caught up out of before the tribulation. Whereas the second coming occurs after the great and terrible tribulation, and that's Revelations chapter 6 through 19. We don't see the church in those chapters in Revelation. We do see Israel mentioned, and of course we have discussed this in the past, that people say, well, there is no more Israel, so every time you see the word Israel, you're supposed to refer to the church. Well, yes, believers in Israel and Christians are called the real Israel, but as a nation, Israel is going to go through lots of trials and tribulation, and whereas a lot of individuals in the nation of Israel will not trust Christ, they will perish, and only a remnant of the nation of Israel will be elect, will be trusting in Christ for salvation. And so we've covered a number of those issues already, but this is more or less a summary of distinctions between the rapture and the second coming. So not only is it that we don't see the church in chapters 6 through 19, but we also see the timing is different. Other timing is different. So the third item here, the distinction, so of the five differences, first we've seen that in the rapture, believers are caught up to be with the Lord in the air, whereas in the second coming, believers come back to earth with the Lord as an army in his second coming. The second point was that the rapture occurs before the great tribulation. Now, church has always gone through tribulation, and right now around the world, I mean, wow, we are so free of tribulation here. But many places in the world right now, as we speak, are being tortured and put to death for faith in Christ. And so we recognize that there is tribulation in the world now, but what the Bible specifically talks about, a tribulation that will come after the abomination of desolation is revealed, and that has not been revealed yet. So the third item here The rapture is the removal of believers from the earth as an act of deliverance, whereas the second coming includes the removal of unbelievers as an act of judgment. So believers are removed from the earth as an act of deliverance. And 1 Thessalonians 4, it's just referring back to this 1 Thessalonians 4 passage. And just the latter part there, verse 16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What comfort would it be if it's telling us that we're going into some greater tribulation than what the church has ever known before? The comfort is that we will be caught up to be with the Lord as an act of deliverance, whereas the second coming includes the removal of unbelievers as an act of judgment. And we look to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 40 through 41. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Now, in this passage, we're not told where those people will be taken to. Now, just prior to these verses in chapter 24, verse 28, talks about that wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. And in the Old Testament, typically, wherever birds were coming together to eat carcasses, it was after a victory. Victory in battle, and the birds of the air come and they feast on the dead bodies of the losers, those that lose. So in chapter 24, we see both of these mentioned. We see people being taken, and we see eagles gathering where there's a carcass. But it's when we read now in Luke 17, the people there actually ask, where are these people taken to? Luke 17. Starting at verse 35, well, even 34, just after the Lord talking about how terrible things will be in the end times. Well, in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? Do you remember what happened? Anybody under the age of seven? What happened to Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt. Do you know why? Does anybody under the age of seven, do you know why she turned into a pillar of salt? She looked back, yes, because her heart was still, she's going this way, but really inside, you know, it's something like, the young person is told to sit down and so they sit down, but then they say, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing up. Well, that would be like her. She was told to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah, and so she's going with her body, but in her heart, she still wanted to be back there. She turned and looked, and they weren't supposed to look back. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And so that's why it says, remember Lot's wife. So isn't that something? We do remember that. Something like Egypt remembers the Passover. When I say they remember it, in sort of like how the bad things that happened to them, not in a good way that believers remember the Passover. It's wonderful that there's a lot of Egyptians that are believers. They understand what that meant, the Passover. So here, remember Lot's wife. And then verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 36, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 37, so that was Jesus talking. Now in verse 37, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, I was surprised to hear a preacher was saying that he's following the Catholic doctrines, and he says that verse there where Jesus says, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. He's saying, well, the eagles are Christians and the body is Jesus' body, and that they're feasting on his body. Now, we did look at that in John chapter 6, that Jesus said, these words that I speak unto you about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they are spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. So he literally tells us it's figurative, not literal. Hear what Jesus is talking about, literal. So he's not talking about believers here. He's talking about eagles eating the bodies of people who would not trust in Christ, who would not get saved and be born again. And so what we see in the second coming, that there's an act of judgment that occurs in the second coming. The fourth item here, the differences between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture is secretive and instantaneous, whereas the second coming is will be visible to all. So if we remember, we did talk about 1 Corinthians 15 last time, talking about the rapture. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. And of course, well, in verse 51, he's telling us that, behold, I show you a mystery. This was unknown to the Old Testament people. They didn't know about this. They were confused about the first coming and second coming of Christ. But here it's been revealed. The mystery has been revealed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So not all believers will die. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, in a twinkling of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye, instantaneous. And whereas the second coming will be visible to all. If you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Acts 1, verse 9, and this is after the Lord Jesus Christ gave his commission, the last commission, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, uttermost part of the earth. I take that literally. I believe Jews went to the uttermost part of the world. And so even though many centuries later, when different ones came and found no gospel belief here, didn't mean that it wasn't prevalent generations before. Talking about the New World. But verse 9, and when he had spoken, so when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So that doesn't sound like that rapture that we're talking about, where we will meet him in the air. In Acts, you know, they beheld, he was taken up, cloud received him out of their sight. These two men that were standing there said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so that's what we see in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Giving a preview as to what is going to happen here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And so this is explaining what this whole book of Revelation is going to culminate in. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So every eye shall see him. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. So in Matthew 24, 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So that's all tribes of the earth. All the tribes shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. So the last item here, distinction, and there are other distinctions, but the last one that we'll discuss this morning, the rapture is imminent and could take place at any moment, whereas the second coming of Christ will occur until after certain other end time events take place. And so in Titus 2, verse 13, about the rapture, Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Titus 2, 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And so it's called a blessed hope. We're looking for that glorious appearing, that blessed hope. And what hope would that be if it meant that we'd be looking forward to greater tribulation than has been since Abel. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And so he's saying we're not to be ignorant as those that have no hope. So this hope, so what is this hope? The hope is shared in 1 Corinthians 15:50, as we discussed last time. And just to review that, 1 Corinthians 15, the distinction here made between the incorruptible and the immortal. So 1 Corinthians 15:50, Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. So they're in corruption in the grave, and they'll be raised incorruptible, never to see death and corruption again. But what about those of us that are alive at the time of Christ appearing? Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So those that are alive and yet dying, like each one of us is dying, right? Although we're alive. So we're alive, but we're dying. So at the coming of Christ in the rapture, we will put on immortality. Even though we are alive, but we're dying, we are mortal, we will put on immortality. Those that are raised from the grave will put on incorruption. Those of us that are alive will put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so that's that great hope that we have, being caught up together to be with Christ in the air, together with those that are resurrected, saints that are resurrected. Whereas the second coming of Christ will not occur until after certain end time events take place. And that's 2 Thessalonians 2:4, referring to the Antichrist. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in great glory. And how do we know this? And we've talked about this many times before. In Matthew 24, Jesus makes it clear. And this is how we know what the starting point is of the Great Tribulation. The 7 years of tribulation. Matthew 24. Verse 15, and that's a key passage there. Matthew 24, 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And then further down there in verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So those are five distinctions between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The rapture is for believers. The second coming of Christ, everyone shall see, every eye shall see him. If the rapture and the second coming are the same event, believers would have to go through the tribulation. And yet, God, like in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, that we read it already, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we had already talked about the message that was given to the church and the believers in the church in Philadelphia, that I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell on the earth. So if the rapture and the second coming are the same event, the return of Christ is not imminent. there are many things that will precede, and we're told, like in Matthew 24, things that precede his coming. There is a general, you know, I mean, many people say, here's Christ, there's Christ. We talked about that in Sunday school hour this morning. Sure, that's happening today, but it'll increase in intensity, and there are some distinct signs of what will happen before Jesus Christ comes the second time. In describing the tribulation period, those chapters at 6 through 19 of Revelation nowhere mention the church on earth. And during the tribulation, which is also called the time of trouble for Jacob, God will again turn his primary attention to Israel. And so that time of trouble for Jacob, we read that in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And we've discussed this at length, and it's talking about that remnant that will be saved out of Jacob, that one third of the nation of Israel that will trust Christ, the one whom they pierced, they will trust him for salvation. So even though the second coming and the rapture are similar in that they both involve Jesus returning, both are end time events, these are big differences. And so the rapture is the return of Christ in the clouds to remove believers from the earth before the time of God's wrath. The second coming is the return of Christ to earth to bring the tribulation to an end and to defeat the Antichrist and those that follow him. What does it mean to us as believers? It means that we are free of worry and concern about predicting when Christ shall return. There's no need for us to get involved in those kind of speculations. Many we know in the past have gotten into trouble by doing that. This morning we were talking about William Miller. He was actually a Baptist preacher who fraudulently, like, you know, he later confessed that he understood how wrong he was to try to guess when the Lord would return. That's not something for believers to do, is to try to guess when Christ would return. Let's be about the Lord's business, and that is to share the gospel with people that don't know. And as far as tribulation and trials go, wow, I mean, it's happening around the world all over, and it has been ever since, and I mentioned about ever since Cain killed his brother Abel. And that's right from the very beginning. And so there's been persecution of believers, but what the Revelation is talking about is something that we just really don't want to be involved in. God will deal with Israel. It's God's dealing with the nation of Israel to demonstrate himself powerful the way he did in Egypt. That's amazing how he brought them out from Egypt by his mighty arm. And so he will be about doing that again. And we believe that it's in the near future. All right, we just thank God for his word and for the comfort that we can take in the fact of this blessed hope that Jesus Christ will raise us one day, those of us that will die before he returns, and those of us that are here and alive when he does return to catch us up, it'll be quite an amazing thing. The world is already preparing itself to deny such a great event of people gone missing. And so that'll be looking forward to Christ's soon return, but in the meantime, sharing the gospel of good news of eternal life, how a person can have eternal life starting today, recognizing that they're lost in their sin, it's not a matter of being tired of your sin, because there's a lot of ungodly people. I'm tired of this sin, let's try something else. And so some of them go into religion, might even try to be a Christian for a while, but that's not salvation. Salvation is not being tired with your sin. Salvation is being totally disgusted and recognizing the holiness, but we can hardly even understand the holiness of God, but recognize how lost and helpless we are without God, and casting our entire life, our entire self on Christ. That's, remember that illustration? On whomever the rock falls, they will be ground to powder. Whoever falls on the rock will be broken. Actually, it's the other. Yeah, so whoever falls on the rock will be broken. That's salvation, where you recognize there's nothing in me, there's no goodness in me. You're trusting, totally relying on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. But on whomever the rock falls, it will ground him to powder, and that's in judgment. And so we want to be the ones that have fallen on the rock and are broken, and recognize that he is the only righteousness that we ever have before God, and that we would share, that others can follow suit to have eternal life. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. We just pray, dear God, that thou would bless some of these verses to our heart today and this coming week, that we could ponder on the fact that you do care for us, even though we face a lot of difficulties. And yes, we recognize that there's some horrendous things going around in the world, but even in our own spheres here at home, we have trials and temptations, things that are sometimes almost seem impossible, but it is just tremendous to know that you know where everything is. You know where every atom in the universe is, and you know the number of hairs on our head. You know everything about us. You know our very thoughts, and we can come to thee in quietness. We can come to thee to share what's on our heart, and we can look into thy word and to learn more of thee and to understand what it is that you have for us. And so we just pray that thou would continue to help us to, we understand that thy will is even our sanctification. So we just look forward to serving thee better in these days to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.